Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Tuesday, July 15th. I'm Jordan Pangelinan, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, as the sun rises, firefighters are adapting. KMUD continues its coverage on the Orleans and Marble Complex fires. The Siskiyou Land Conservancy adds 170 acres to the Mad River Preserve. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. Operations Section Chief on California Team 9, Jeff Hansen gives an update on the Marble Complex from the Klamath National Forest Facebook news release on today's overview of activity of both fires, status, and plans for today and going forward.
We're on the Klamath National Forest on the Marble Complex. Today is July the 15th, 2025. Our jacket fire down here in Sawyer's Bar and Yellow Jacket Ridge. You know, we unstaffed that a few days ago. We still have eyes on it. No smoke, no heat for a number of days now. Up on the Summit Fire, again, things are looking really good. We're really winding down out there. But what we have going on now is starting to repair some of our control lines. And that it consists of putting in water bars to mitigate any erosion problems that may occur in the future here. We're still securing and holding our lines that we have established out there. Most of our heat is down. Any smokes that we have out there, is down under Maneaton Lake. It's basically little pockets of vegetation surrounded by rock outcroppings. On the map, you'll never see line, really, you know, this black line or down here, because that's all natural barriers and rock outcroppings. We're still doing some mitigation work on the PCT to get it back opened up for the hikers. And we're starting to demob crews off the hill. There's still folks out there 24 hours a day, but as crews time out, we're pulling them off the hill and we're not replacing them. We're looking at having everybody off the hill with the exception of one crew by Thursday night. And we're looking at turning this fire back to the Klamath National Forest on Friday morning. So as things wind down, Team 9 will move on and we'll leave it to the forest. And I think we're leaving them a good package, and all you guys are a good package as well. So end of report and have a good day.
Extreme temperatures in the Marble Complex area will begin to abate, but will remain above average. The wind pattern will change around midweek, featuring periods of westerly winds in the afternoon after morning easterlies. This shift could carry heat and embers to unburned fuels. Crews will remain vigilant and monitor weather conditions that could lead into increased fire activity. An area closure order is currently in effect due to the Summit Fire. Residents and visitors are asked to avoid these areas and remain vigilant of changing fire conditions. A combination of evacuation orders and warnings are in place for both the Summit and Jacket Fire. Visit the Office of Emergency Services Disaster Management for the Siskiyou County. This can also be found at protect.genesis.com. That's protect.genasys.com. To stay updated, you can also visit watchduty.org or by typing in Humble Alert Sign Up in your internet browser. KMUD News will continue to update as we get new information. Planning Operations Section Chief Leif Matheson gives an update on the Orleans Complex from the Klamath National Forest Facebook news release this morning on today's overview of activity for both fires, status, and plans for today and going forward.
I'm going to give you a briefing on what our plans for today are. So starting here in Division X, we had Division X in there last night around the Butler structures. All that's looking good. Crews continue to mop up in the Butler Creek and around the structures in there. Everything seems to be holding above the Salmon River Road. Day shift today is going to continue that operation. Coming around into Alpha and the Nordheimer structures, last night there was some challenges in there with fire continuing to back down slope. Crews made good progress in reinforcing around Chuck's Place and in Nordheimer. Nordheimer Structure Group. The fire did continue to flank a little bit along the Salmon River Road. Everything as of this morning is still on the west side of Salmon River Road. Coming down into Delta, crews were able to complete this piece of handline and dozer line yesterday. They have a little bit of touch-up work today to do to get that fully finished, and then they're looking at potentially plumbing that. Additionally, they're continuing to work that line out to the south, trying to work their way around to Division Hotel. Division Hotel, again, had a productive day yesterday, working from Orleans Mountain down to the south towards DP 60 and 61. That stuff seems to be looking really good. They got a lot of crews up there and a fair amount of equipment working with our cultural resource specialists to make sure that we're on the right ridges in the right places. We did have a few crews up here up top monitoring this and working with helicopter bucket work yesterday. We started to staff Division Tango today. That's the division that was previously unstaffed. We moved some crews around from the Red Fire, and they're going to begin piecing this stuff together to figure out how to get it back around to the top of Division X-Ray.
Siskiyou County Sheriff's Office has issued evacuation orders for the following zones impacted by the Butler Fire. The zones are SIS-1703, SIS-1704, that is for Butler Creek, Lewis Creek, Bloomer Mine Residence, and Nordheimer Campground, SIS-1707-A and SIS-1803-A. Zones FRK-709, SIS-1705, SIS-1707-B, SIS-1708, and SIS-1802 are under an evacuation warning where residents are advised to be prepared to evacuate if conditions become more threatening. The latest evacuation information can also be found at protectgenesis.com. That's protect.genasys.com. The road between Butler Flat and Nordheimer Campground remains closed as rocks and burning debris continue to fall into the roadway. Nordheimer and Oak Bottom Campgrounds are also closed. Temperatures are expected to be slightly cooler today, with highs near 100 degrees. Winds will most likely come out of the southwest with occasional gusts up to 15 miles an hour. You can also stay updated by visiting watchduty.org or by typing in Humble Alert Sign Up in your internet browser. KMUD News will continue to update as we get more information. The Siskiyou Land Conservancy has significantly expanded its conservation efforts by acquiring a second large parcel along the Mad River, bringing the total protected area to 353 acres. This includes the new 170-acre donation, which adds to the protection of the 1.5 mile of river frontage along the Mad River. The Siskiyou Land Conservancy is a nonprofit organization that serves Humboldt, Del Norte, and Mendocino counties and is dedicated to identifying and protecting private lands with high conservation value. By working directly with landowners, SLC negotiates conservation strategies that allow property owners to retain ownership while preserving the ecological integrity of their land. In an interview with KMUD News, SLC Executive Director Greg King shared why the organization is prioritizing the Mad River region.
The Mad River is the least protected of the fabled six rivers of the, you know, like Six Rivers National Forest. And just in terms of amount of habitat that is actually protected from human uses. So we looked at that watershed and saw that there's some good work going on, but there are a lot of damaging activities that have occurred over the past decades that really need to be rectified, such as massive road systems, a lot of heavy logging, and things like that. And the flip side of that, though, is the vast importance of the Mad River in terms of habitat and water quality. It provides 70% of the water, domestic water use in Humboldt County, or 70% of the people, you know, rely on it. And so there are many reasons to look at the Mad River in terms of, okay, what can we eke out in terms of protections? And the program was really jump-started late last year when one of our directors, Ken Miller, a longtime environmental activist in Humboldt County, he donated a beautiful 183-acre property to Siskiyou Land Conservancy at the end of last year so that it could be permanently preserved. And that property is located about 10 miles upriver of the Maple Creek Bridge. And it's, you know, very strong habitat values, two big blue line creeks running through it. One of them historically was a spawning stream, and we hope to restore that so that spawning fish can get back in there. But also there's a half mile of river frontage on that river. And so we were able to take possession of this land, and we will permanently protect it. At that point, we understood that we were onto something pretty good because there were some landowners who heard about the acquisition and said they would work with us to protect their land in some way. So we're talking about a conservation easement with a couple of landowners up there. But also the neighboring landowner, we entered into negotiations with him at the beginning of this year to purchase the 170-acre property that he owns adjacent and downstream of the Miller property that we acquired last year. And that was a great opportunity to acquire not only this wonderful forested property with a lot of habitat values, a lot of wildlife exists on these properties out there because they're uninhabited, but also another mile of river frontage on both sides of the Mad River. And so we raised $275,000 from the Coates Foundation, which is a you know, West Coast California foundation, and purchased the property. We closed on June 30th of this year. And we now protect a mile and a half of river frontage on the Mad, a river with almost no river frontage protection on the entire 113-mile length. So immediately, almost, we got this fantastic opportunity to do some great work here to protect this river and the water quality and the habitat there. And, you know, we're going to allow some public access on a limited permitted basis, you know, with docent-led access to the land, but also this very special reach of the Mad River that is largely inaccessible to the public for about 50 or 60 miles of its length.
The Mad River offers vital aquatic habitat for imperiled coho salmon and other sensitive species, including a rare summer run of the steelhead trout. It also provides domestic water for 70% of Humboldt County residents. The acquisition of the 170-acre parcel was made possible through a $275,000 grant from the Vincent J. Coates Foundation. King noted that working with landowners to secure conservation donations often presents challenges, but the organization has found success through patience, collaboration, and trust building.
To acquire these lands, the biggest challenge, of course, is always money, unless you have a donor such as Ken Miller who will donate land, and that's very rare. We encourage people to do that. We are working with another landowner elsewhere in Humboldt County, not on the Mad River, but who is simply going to leave us her land in her trust. And that's a great way to ensure that you know, always will and be able to enjoy your land. But if you want to make sure it's protected the way you're protecting it, you can simply leave it to us or another land trust, you know, a bona fide nonprofit organization that is dedicated over the long term to protecting habitat and the natural values of that land. And that doesn't exclude human uses. It just means that it can't be abused. And that's a key point. So raising the money is a challenge. We had a wonderful opportunity with Coates Foundation. We worked with them for years. They actually kind of went above and beyond what they've ever done for us. They saw the immense value, the bang for the buck on this purchase. So that was overcome very quickly when we negotiated with Coates to get this funding, and they stuck with us for months through the process, which is really a very high bar for giving. And just to extrapolate, I'd like to see a lot more of this type of giving from the nation's wealthy individuals and institutions to simply buy up habitat, because the, you know, crashing biological diversity stocks affects the whole planet, including, you know, in humans. So that was a challenge, and we were able to achieve that, getting the acquisition funding. The other was just the kind of long negotiations. It took 6 months to negotiate with the landowner over price and to get to that place where we were all in agreement. And then doing the actual acquisition, you know, attorneys. And that's another thing I should point out is that we got the acquisition funding, but not the funding for the attorneys and the closing fees and all that. So we spent several thousand dollars out of our general fund. And, you know, I'd like our supporters to know that their money is going to excellent use, because all that extra funding came from our account. So it was pretty smooth, actually. It was a 6-month process, but, you know, it went quite well, and we're immensely happy with it. And it's the opportunities for public exploration and for further enhancing and restoring this property are immense. And so it's just great.
The Mad River has restoration projects underway at its mouth and further upstream. The region's unusual geological features and the river's suitability for spawning, especially coho salmon, make it a priority for restoration. King expressed hope that this project will inspire other landowners to consider conservation partnerships to protect their wild lands. SLC provides resources and guidance to those interested in preserving their land for future generations.
Here on this reach of the Mad River, we find a really unusual geologic formation, a lot of land flow movement, which makes for cliffs and huge boulders in the stream. And the forest here was this amazing, diverse, ancient Douglas fir and giant hardwood. There are still lots of giant maples on the Miller property. And we have yet to explore much the other one. We've walked it, of course, but to find some of the great old hardwoods that were left when the old timers logged this area in the 1960s. So really geologically, first of all, is what's so striking about this area. And it's well known to geologists for its kind of alternately steep and then gentle formations, but also these land flows with the giant boulders and kind of the twisted geologic formations that we know so well in our area, and how unique it is in this one spot, this about 10 or 15 mile stretch of this river. And then there's also the great spawning all up and down here. The coho come up this far, and there's some good spawning streams nearby. And there's a year-round stream on the Miller property that we hope to restore to anadromy and bring back coho. It's the perfect gradient for them and the gravel size. So just very exciting to think about the future of a landscape and knowing what it used to be, what's this climax forest, broken by meadows in the upper reaches with, really strong habitat values. I spent a lot of time on the Smith River, which is largely pristine. Most of the watershed, 80% plus, is in federal hands and well-protected. But on the here on the Mad, which is almost all private, especially in this area, I see a lot of wildlife. Black bears, I've seen a mountain lion, bald eagles, golden eagles. It's snakes of all kinds. It's really an immense array and a wonderful community of wildlife that exists on these lands throughout here. It's a fecund place. So just to help that to continue and to enhance that on these properties and hopefully to inspire other landowners, because it's on this side of the river where we now own, it does go over to the other side some, but it's mostly on the southwest side. There are a lot of largish parcels where the individual landowners could do a lot of good to enhance wildlife habitat and water quality. So just getting that idea out, and here we're serious about this. We have raised the money. We've purchased the land. We're fulfilling the vision that we have for this reach of the Mad River, and we would really like to expand in a significant way.
Landowners who donate to land trusts like SLC do not lose ownership of their property, but may agree to limit certain uses to protect the land's ecological value. They also plan to invite the public to learn more about these preserved areas. The conservation momentum is growing along the Mad River. Recently, another nonprofit, California Caltrout, reported successful results from its restoration project at the Badawa Estuary. Like Caltrout, SLC is focused on enhancing habitats upstream to improve conditions for native species.
There are landowners we talk to who say, oh, well, I want to still be able to log and ranch and stuff like that. And we're not talking about precluding human uses of the land. That's really important to get across, that we respect and honor the land-based industries in our area. But what we can't do with those industries is wreck the land, is wreck the habitat. We have to draw back some of the heavy industrial uses that we've inflicted upon these landscapes and rethink how we go about extracting, if you will, from the land. So a lot of people in Southern Humboldt and throughout Humboldt are in Mendocino know Tim Metz, who's a great forester, and he's really coming to a, a, an excellent place with this, this ability to provide restoration forestry services and still provide some profit for landowners. And so we're very excited to hopefully get Tim out there to this property soon. And that's the idea, is to not, inflict our judgment on neighboring landowners at all, but to work with landowners, which is why I founded this organization 21 years ago, was to work with landowners. I've been butting heads for a long time, and this is working.
Finally, King shared how members of the community can contribute to this conservation effort.
You know, the cooperative work on a river like the Mad, which is a large river, is essential. And so that particular project, which I've seen, I watched it when they had those old treatment ponds and they turned them into coho rearing, and now there's coho in them. And that is one of the most exciting elements of restoration on the Mad that I've ever seen. That is excellent work. And so what we can do upstream is protect water quality, because that's all headed to the estuary. Another project we have really enjoyed watching move forward is beaver reintroduction, which is when you have beavers in our area on these streams, you are enhancing salmonid habitat immensely, and other and habitat for other creatures. Sometimes beavers, when you reintroduce beavers, the diversity of species goes up significantly. So we're talking with State Fish and Wildlife now to look at that. And so, you know, the groups that are already working on the MAD, we're going to augment and complement that work. And I think acquisition of private parcels is one of the elements of conservation that isn't really happening on the MAD. And so we're really excited that we were able to step in this way very quickly and acquire 353 acres. And if we can keep going with that, that's wonderful. If not, that's okay too. We will always have work to do, even just on these properties, but also complementary with the work that's been ongoing from other groups.
If you're a landowner interested in protecting your property, SLC encourages people to reach out. They can walk you through the process and help you make a lasting impact. To learn more about the Siskiyou Land Conservancy's mission, projects, or how to get involved, visit siskiyouland.org. That is SISKIYOULAND.org. In state news, Senate Democrats clash with Forest Service chief over Trump's proposed firefighting budget cuts. KPFA's Brooke Kirkner reports.
Trump-appointed Forest Service chief and former lumber executive Tom Scholz testified before the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee on the president's 2026 Forest Service budget request. During the hearing, Democratic Senator Martin Heinrich of New Mexico grilled Scholz on proposed funding cuts for state firefighting programs. Heinrich questioned a rumored decision by the Trump administration not to release any of the fiscal year 2025 money to states.
You told the Senate Appropriations Committee a few weeks ago that the Forest Service would be quickly releasing the FY25 funds for these programs for state and volunteer fire assistance, but now we're hearing that states have been told to prepare to receive zero funding this year. Is that correct?
Sir, you're correct in what my testimony was, and what we're telling states right now is we don't have an answer just yet, but we're not telling them they're not going to get it. We're saying we're still in discussion on that.
Scholz assumed the role of Forest Service chief after his Biden-appointed predecessor, Randy Moore, stepped down in February, expressing frustration with the thousands of layoffs ordered by the Trump administration. The president's 2026 budget request continues this trend of workforce reduction and shrinking funding. The budget would appoint $391 million fewer dollars to the Forest Service in 2026 than it did in 2025. The White House asserted in its budget proposal that this cut, among other things, quote, reduces funding for expenses including salaries. Alex Padilla, Democratic Senator of California, called the layoffs and diversion of resources away from firefighting deeply troubling.
So I'm concerned that this represents a significant reduction in capability and capacity and poses a serious danger to communities, not just in California, elsewhere in the West and across the country. These staffing reductions, coupled with the president diverting National Guard units in California, mean that those resources are no longer available to support a wildfire response capacity. It's not just irresponsible, it's dangerous.
6 months out from the devastating LA wildfires, Northern California is entering its peak wildfire season. If Congress approves Trump's budget plan, states can expect little firefighting support from the federal government. President Trump has repeatedly insisted that California's wildfires are caused by a lack of maintenance.
And I see again the forest fires are starting. They're starting again in California. I said, you got to clean your floors, you got to clean your forests. They have many, many years of leaves and broken trees, and they're like so flammable. You touch them and it goes up. I've been telling them this now for 3 years, but they don't want to listen. The environment. But they have massive fires again in California. Maybe we're just going to have to make them pay for it.
Policy disagreements may push the final budget approval past the October start of the coming fiscal year. For KPFA News, I'm Brooke Helena Kirkner.
In National Native News, Antonia Gonzalez reads today's headlines.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Trump administration may be on the verge of reviving plans for a controversial mine upstream from Alaska's Bristol Bay. The company behind the proposed pebble mine says it's in talks with the Environmental Protection Agency and hopes the agency will withdraw its veto of the project. The open-pit copper and gold mine is widely opposed by area tribes and the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, as well as commercial fishermen. They say it's a threat to the bay's prolific salmon runs that are the basis of the regional economy and vital to subsistence and Alaska Native culture. Environmental studies found the mine would damage or destroy miles of salmon streams and more than 2,000 acres of wetlands. Opponents have succeeded in blocking the proposal for decades. The EPA issued a rare veto of the project in 2023, but a document filed in federal court this month reveals the EPA is reconsidering that decision. In his first term, President Trump ran hot and cold on Pebble. His first EPA administrator let the project move forward, then reversed course a few months later. In 2020, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers denied Pebble's Clean Water Act permit. That came after Donald Trump Jr., a sports fisherman who visited the region, publicly announced his opposition. The Trump administration's new budget reconciliation bill is drawing criticism from some for its cuts to social safety net programs. But residents in one Arctic community say the bill will support their economy, thanks to several carve-outs for Alaska, including an increased tax break for whaling captains. Ayolna Naiden with the Alaska Desk has more.
Charles Achlenik Lempi is an Inupiaq whaler, born and raised in Kaktovik on the North Slope. His whaling crew hosted a feast in June, celebrating their successful bowhead whale harvest and sharing it with the village.
It doesn't only go to the whaling captains or whaling captains' families. It goes to our entire community.
Lempi is one of the whaling captains in Alaska's Arctic who are applauding the Republican mega bill that President Trump signed into law on July 4th. The bill has been criticized for extending tax breaks for wealthy Americans and for slashing social safety net programs like Medicaid and food stamps. The final bill also includes a tax deduction increase for subsistence whaling captains from $10,000 to $50,000 for whaling-related expenses. Lempi says those deductions will provide a big economic relief for 11 whaling communities in Alaska. He says captains like him annually need to buy fuel, food, whaling bombs, and safety gear for their crews.
It could be very, very spendy. Being able to have that tax break, you know, frees up money to provide help for the rest of the year for not only the whaling captains, but to our family members and stuff too, because we help wherever we can.
The mega bill also seeks to increase resource development across the state and includes new oil lease sales in the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska and the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Nathan Gordon Jr. is the mayor of Kaktovik, the only community within the refuge. He says those provisions acknowledge what many North Slope residents have been advocating for: responsible resource development to support local economy and infrastructure.
That's where most of the tax money is going to go, is to the new school in Kaktovik, which is amazing.
I am Alona Naiden.
Representative Sharice Davids and colleagues are calling on the Department of Justice to restore the Not Invisible Act Commission report to the DOJ website, which was removed earlier this year due to an executive order. Members recently sent a letter to the DOJ saying the report includes critical information on the missing and murdered Indigenous persons crisis and say its removal erases years of research. Members say accessible data is essential to addressing the crisis and are asking the DOJ to take steps to immediately restore it. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Katie Phillips, and thanks to our reporters, Brooke Kirchner and Antonia Gonzalez. KMUD News is online, and you can find us on KMUD.org and now streaming on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, where you can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening during your rural commute. You can also follow us on social media. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Redwood Community Radio is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Reporting for KMUD, I'm Jordan Pangelinan.